Back now to the electricity blackout in the northeastern United States. We've spent a lot of time talking about New York City in this hour, but a lot of other places hundreds of miles away are attached to the same power grid, and they found themselves with the same problems. Day-to-Day's Karen Grigsby-Bates is here with me. Karen, how are things going?
Hi, Alex. I talked to folks in Cleveland. You know, Cleveland lost its lights and its power because the pumps are run by electricity, so they've been told to boil their water. But despite the frustration of blackened streets and stifling houses, I talked with Nellen Myers, who works at the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and she said a spirit of cooperation was prevailing.
Yes, yes. People were helping people. I stopped to buy 5 gallons of juice. And after I thought about it, I only bought 3 because I knew everyone else was trying to buy some. Everybody was very courteous to each other. It was everybody was pulling together. It was a good feeling in spite of what was happening.
In Detroit, people weren't so happy. NPR's Quinn Kleinfelter drove in to report in the eerie darkness.
It was nothing but pitch blackness on the highways and the freeways, where you would always see it dotted with lights, traffic lights, the lights of fellow cars. There was nothing. It was just simply a black fog that one drove into, and it continued all the way into the heart of Detroit, a major metropolitan area, but every light was out.
They were having the same problems as Cleveland, and several hundred owners of classic cars who had descended upon the city for a car convention were dismayed to find themselves stuck in hotels with no air conditioning and hermetically sealed windows. Quinn says gas was looming as a very big concern.
There's been a few reports of a few fights, but not really much. Most of what fights there have been concern trying to get gasoline. As everyone would know, gasoline is pumped, and that is run by electric pumps. And there's none working now in Detroit, so people are stuck with whatever fuel they had in before the outage began. And for most people, that's almost run out.
Alex, Quinn says that the anxiety over lack of gas in Detroit almost caused a huge mess for a town a few miles away.
There was a report just to the west of Detroit, actually, maybe 20 miles or so, that there was a flood of people heading to that way because they did have power yet and apparently thought they had some gasoline. Unfortunately, police say there's now a 4.5 to 5 hour backup to this small area called Brighton, and are actually requesting that motorists don't go there now because they said you're going to wait in line forever, and when you get there, they'll likely be out of gasoline anyway.
But things weren't so grim in Toronto. Power is returning gradually, says Scott Magnus, who's a spokesman for Toronto's mayor, Mel Lastman. And for one thing, Scott says people got an ad hoc holiday.
The premier of Ontario, that's like your governor of the state, he declared a state of emergency for the province last night, told everybody to take the day off, and just enjoy themselves, stay home if they can. And so most people have done that. It's only essential services and essential personnel are at work. I bought breakfast this morning at a restaurant, so, you know, there's lots of places that are closed too. I mean, there's lots of retail stores. It's very much like a public holiday.
And Scott says people have been pretty philosophical about the blackout's inconveniences, which actually had a happy fringe benefit for some folks.
I think the public, you know, there's a lot of worse times of the year that you could have a power outage. I saw lots of people, you know, last night sitting on balconies and porches with candlelight. That, you know, I think was probably more than a few romantic evenings. And, you know, it's okay.
So, yeah, he's right. People might have been uncomfortable, but at least nobody froze to death.
Yeah, and I think that in general, people seem to be pretty happy. I mean, it was not happy for the inconveniences, but, you know, it wasn't a terrorist attack, and you can live with your refrigerator defrosting.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for checking on things around the country for us. Day-to-Day's Karen Grigsby-Bates. Day-to-Day is a production of NPR News and Slate.com. On Fridays, we acknowledge our theme music is composed by Greg Smith. I'm Alex Chadwick.